Welcome back, y'all, to another episode of the Person of Interest podcast with me, Natalie Jones. Hello. We have Deuces Cunningham this week. You may know him because he has done so many things around Cincinnati. Number one, he's one of the infield hosts of the Cincinnati Reds, which we are now in our season swimming in it. Go Red Legs. He is a singer-songwriter. He is a producer. He is an actor. He is a playwright. He has written jingles, very, very, very popular jingles. He went crazy viral in 2020 for P&G. He has a new album out. He has done everything under the sun. This is right. Oh, and also right now he has an NPR podcast called The Art Of, in which he is the producer, the director, the writer, and the performer in all of it. And I think this is a great example of who he is as a person. He's an all-around talent. He will try and do anything. And let me tell you, and when he puts his heart into it, he does it real well. You can find him on every streaming platform and every social media platform for that matter. Now, let's meet Deuces Cunningham. He's been interviewed so many freaking times by this point in life already. So what I wanted to know now is who he really is, where he comes from, what he values in life, and where he sees going next. His career is fantastic, but I want to know about Deuces, the man behind it all. So here he is, everybody, Deuces Cunningham. You can find him on Instagram at iDeuces. AIGHTDEUCES. So there it is, my very rushed and seemingly really nervous Natalie interviewing Ryan Peake of Nickelback. Again, if you want to see the film Hate to Love Nickelback, check your local listings and also nickelbackfilm.com. Want to know more about the band in general, nickelback.com, and check all the socials. Ryan, I can tell you, just by seeing him on Zoom, was so full of joy and so happy and very, very positive. This seems like something that they've been dealing with their whole lives, but maybe wasn't really that big of a deal to them because they were selling out stadiums worldwide and selling all of the records. Maybe, if anything, it just left them a little confused. I think for their own sake, they are freeing their souls by releasing this film, and I personally cannot wait to see it. Again, that's nickelbackfilm.com, and check your local listings, babes. We'll see you next time. All right, so Michael Deuces Cunningham.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm good.
Are you Michael Deuces Cunningham the second?
So it is actually Michael Cunningham the second.
Okay.
The name Deuces comes from my father, actually. Yeah. So it's like on my birth certificate, it says Michael Cunningham the second, not junior.
Okay.
So when I was growing up, my dad always called me Deuce.
Ah.
Right? Because I'm the second from him. And the second and junior are totally two different things. Like, you're not your own entity when you're a junior.
Ah.
When you're the second, you are.
Yeah.
So basically, I was growing up, you know what I mean? He always called me Deuce. And then I started doing music in high school, and like, people started calling me Deuces, like, going into college, and it just kind of stuck.
So where did you grow up?
I grew up in Wyoming. Do you know that place?
Wyoming, Ohio?
Yeah.
Sure
like
do.
Wyoming, Cincinnati, whatever.
Sure do.
Yeah. So that's where I graduated from.
Okay.
But I was there from like fifth grade, obviously, to graduation in high school. Mm-hmm. But like, I grew up there. My mom was a single mother, yep. Right? So we did a lot of moving around.
Oh, cool. I've moved like 35 times in my life. Yeah. So I can relate.
You can understand. So like, I came from Forest Park. I was raised in Kennedy Heights, Pleasant Ridge.
Yeah, yeah.
So like, that's where my granny and my grandpa lived, and then Forest Park is where my mom's parents lived.
Nice.
Well, my mom's mom lived. And then Lincoln Heights was where like my mom's dad's side was. So like my grandpa's side of my mom. Mm-hmm. So the Lee family, that's where we were there. So I grew up in a couple different areas.
Nice. Yeah. And you're, but you were born in California?
Yeah.
Where in California?
29 Palms.
Where is that?
So that's like Southern California. I don't even know how close it is to like to the area of Mexico and stuff, but it's like, it's San Bernardino, California.
Yeah, yeah.
So like in that like whole compass of San Bernardino, there's a place called 29 Palms, and it's like a complete desert. Like nothing's out there. But a military base.
Oh, nice. Oh, so was your dad in the military?
Yeah, he was a Marine.
Cool. Oh, nice.
No.
And then when did you guys move to Ohio?
They got divorced, and I moved with my mom here back home with her family and stuff when I was like three.
Okay.
So I technically didn't get to experience California until like I graduated high school and my stepmom decided to buy me a ticket back to California to stay out there for about 7 months in San Diego in 29 Palms because my stepmom has like a bunch of family out there.
Yeah.
Because my stepmom's from 29 Palms.
Okay.
And from San Diego. So she like bought me a ticket and got to live a little.
Did you
know?
Like it?
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. God, I like California a lot as well.
Yeah.
This, I do miss it a lot.
This weather out here.
Oh, that's right. That's one of the first things you said when you walked in the studio was like, I don't like cold.
No.
In general.
No, disgusting. Like, I just can't take cold weather. Like, I don't think my body's, like, not prepped for it.
Yeah.
Like people, like, it'll be like 50 degrees, no wind. And people will be like, yo, like, why you all bundled up? And it's like, because, like, I'm cold.
Yeah.
like, I'm not from here. Like, I need to, like, go back to the warmth. Like, take me back to the Bahamas or something. I don't know.
I feel you on that. I love the cold if there is, because I like winter sports. So I like the cold if I can like go snowboarding or, you know, do the winter mountain sporty things.
Snowboarding.
But,
okay.
Yeah. But just cold in general. I like, it's a double-edged sword for me. I like the outfit opportunities that it provides. But I don't like being cold either.
That's so funny. Because, Nat, your outfits, like, throughout the years that, like, I've been aware of you, like, impeccable.
Oh,
like,
thank you so much.
I think at the Taylor Swift concert, like, you could, like, the Taylor Swift, like, tailgate, like, the Taylor gate that we had between both stadiums, like, that was such an amazing weekend.
That was so much
but
fun.
But you could see you in, like, a crowd of, like, tens and thousands of people, like, and I'm like that's not
oh man, thank you so much. Somebody recently was like, I went somewhere, I don't know, I wore a fur coat to the gym and they were like, can you not, is there ever a moment when you're not? I was like, no, I guess not. I don't know.
Gotta thrive a little.
But you know, hold on, I will say this, that wasn't something I was always comfortable with. I've always liked dressing crazy. That's just who I am. I don't know. I just always like doing it. And I didn't feel confident to do that all the time and to listen to myself how I wanted to dress every day until recently. So thank you. It's something that I'm getting comfortable with.
No, for sure. You do it. You need to do your own fashion event.
Ooh,
like your own, like Nat's fashion day. And like,
are you thinking about like my, I need to like start like TikTok accounts that are just like outfits. They're just about outfits, you know.
That would be
like,
tight.
I should do that.
That would be tight.
Oh, like it's the only thing. But I would really like that. Anyway, we're gonna, all right, getting back though. So you, how many siblings do you have?
Let's see. I have my little brother Champion. He's not even my little brother. But he's 27 because I'm so 31, 30, 29, 28. So he turns 28 this year. So I have a brother, a sister my age, Marcella, and then I have a little sister, Mackenzie, who is in college right now, living her life, making me nervous 24/7, because it's like, can you not get any older?
Oh, that's so kind of you.
Yeah, no, she like has a boyfriend. Like, I don't know. Like, I think it's like a lot of friends and people and stuff always tell me like, dude, like, she's growing up. Like, you gotta just let that go.
Were you really close to their growing up and had a big impact on her?
You know, to keep it a buck, I was not a great influence growing up for her because I was getting into trouble as a kid. But like the love that I showed her was something that I was passionate about. You know, like I let her know, like as an older brother, like I care for you. Mm. Like at the end of the day, like just ask me what you need. Like this, that, and the third. Like I always had conversations with her and stuff, and you know, made sure that I was there for her for the things that she needed. But yeah, I wasn't a great influence until like 21, where I was like, all right, like you need to buckle up, bub. Like you need to get your stuff together because like you got a sister that's getting older. She kind of needs that bit of
influence. Oh, that's a responsible view. That's wonderful. I have a family and a younger brother who's 13 years younger than me, and I've always nurtured him. Like he was my own in a sense and looked out for him that way.
Yeah.
And it's crazy when they grow up. He's 26 now. It blows my freaking mind.
Doesn't it?
It's wild.
It's like, and then like I'm being an oldest is like you don't prepare for anyone younger than you to like to go into their own. Like you're just like, okay, hold on, I gotta adjust to all of this.
Well, so you're a big family man, it seems like. And let's, I'm just gonna go through some of the things you do. You are a Renaissance artist here in Cincinnati. It's really, really great. Watching everything that you do, and I don't think I'm gonna hit everything, but this is what I got. Okay. I had to write it all down because I couldn't remember it. All right, you're a rapper, singer, songwriter, actor. I would say poet in that if you're a songwriter as well. You are a host of the Reds in the Red Stadium. You are, your most recent thing, I would say, or the newest venture, is you're a public radio podcast host. And you're an event planner. You're a playwright. What else am I missing here?
You write
jingles? You write songs? Okay, so you do that. Yes.
Yep, I write jingles.
Viral sensation.
Yep. Obviously, I'm a producer and inspiring upcoming director for like filming and stuff. Currently with that Cincinnati Public Radio project that I'm doing.
Yeah, it's cool.
And I guess, I freestyle too. So like my band, The Golden Theory, is a hip hop improv band, but like we do so much music within that world that like, you know?
Yeah,
you can't really specify it as a hip hop group anymore. You know, it's just like a, it's just like an improv like music group. You know, so I guess
jazz,
like
baby.
Jazz, rock. I mean, well, country
like in the sense of jazz is like just letting it flow.
Yeah, because jazz is incorporated in a lot of things. Mm-hmm. You know, and that is a lot of where like the freestyle things kind of correlate from. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean that's a whole style in itself. I think you nailed it.
Yeah, really? Yay.
I'm trying to question myself, like, damn, did you forget something, dude? Like, what'd you forget, dude? I think she got it.
So, you know, when you were younger growing up, did you think that this would be what your life was like?
So when I was like 7, I wanted to be a mad scientist.
Really?
So while you were talking about saving the world, I was talking about just doing like just creating all types of chemicals and like
that's so cool.
Yeah. But I think when I hit 3rd grade, like I started playing the drums at St. James. So I went to St. James in Wyoming.
Oh, wow. I was at St. James White Oak.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, so you were a Catholic kid at some point in time.
Yeah.
Now, my family didn't even practice Catholic. I just went to, went to a Catholic school. And I started playing drums. And, like, you know, I always knew it was there because my family, like, my grandpa, my dad's dad used to party with Bootsy Collins. And, like, I have a huge amount of the Cunninghams live in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, there's just a lot of music, like a lot of music and art incorporated on my dad's side.
Mm.
And like a lot of that is also on my mom's side as well. So like I kind of like getting older, like you started to recognize there were certain things that were always there.
Yeah.
But I think it really started with my older brother, which is technically my cousin.
Okay.
But we grew up together with my granny. So we were the only grandchildren in the household.
Mm.
We didn't have all of our parents together, so we were really like brothers together stuff. And he started rapping before I did, and I think that's when it started to click.
That's what. So, were you guys in high school at the same time?
No, he's 7 years older than me.
Okay.
Yeah, so like he's older than me. He started rapping when I was like in late middle school, like 7th, 8th grade. Mm. He was rapping during high school for him. I was watching him pass out the CDs at GameStop and Big Lots and, like, you know, Biggs and doing the whole thing downtown, you know, before, like, self-diploma came a thing and the whole nine. So, like, I had always been, like, embedded in the world of music. But I think that's kind of, like, where it started before, after I wanted to be a math scientist.
Okay, well, so a lot of that obviously comes with finding like your artistic flow in writing. This is my favorite question to ask artists. Do you have a routine or something that you do in order for you to get into that mental space where you feel free?
I have so many different things that I do.
Really?
Yeah. My mind works really fast.
Mm-hmm.
Like I have a sporadic mind, but I've learned how to focus it.
Yeah.
Over time.
Tell us how, please.
You know, I discipline. like discipline and saying no, not only to the things around you and outside of you, but also within yourself. That word no, and like just like assertiveness, like personal assertiveness, not assertiveness with the outside world, but like with yourself, is like my biggest like game changer. And so like, I guess if we're talking about like when it comes to getting to the concept of writing a song and the creativeness of it, I definitely use a lot of Pinterest to come up with ideas. So I'm very much a visual person.
Okay, cool.
So like I will go on YouTube and just watch a ton of different music videos and just like listen to a ton of new songs, just understanding like the personalities and the characters that are being created within our world of music, to kind of like as a sponge, like I'm just taking in like the things that I see that are like that excite me. And then obviously like I get a notebook on my phone and like I, you know, bars and lines always come into my mind constantly. Like a line will constantly come into my line.
Like throughout the day?
Oh yeah, 100%. Like I totally like was in that room with what's her name who has the Sunny Honey Jeep.
Yeah, yeah.
And like I was just looking at like the hallway and like I just thought about myself like performing in there, and then I was like, man, like what a canvas of a world you could just create in there. And like then like lines just started coming in like in my mind about like, oh, like maybe you could like make a whole song about radio.
Yeah.
And like bars started coming in my head and I was like, all right, man.
Oh, that's rad. And so like, is it like your notes app is just flooded or all this stuff?
Yeah. Do you want to see this?
I feel like I'm so old school. Get it, boy. Oh, I love it.
It's too much.
No, dude, it's never too much.
Yeah.
It's never too much. So if you, so like, you wanted to be a mad scientist, obviously, and then you started doing so much. Can you just tell me, I want to know from the beginning when you were younger, like, how you started doing all of the things that you do. You know, like you started rapping, and then, hold on, tell me about the, your hand washing. What? Safeguard Splash, that was during COVID?
Yeah. That was during COVID when every company started to like, they were like, hey, like we can't have you here right now. Like you have to file for unemployment. I was working at Sleepy Bee. Right?
So like for Emma. Emma's the best.
Yeah, so Emma Cotter's husband is my best friend that I went to one of my best friends that I went to school with.
Oh, cool.
Phil Cotter. So Phil Cotter and I are graduated together in the same class at Wyoming, and like we've always done music together. And it didn't dawn on me till like I like got to the job, like was cooking because I'm a chef, so like I was cooking and doing the whole thing, and she comes in the room like in the kitchen, and I go, my whole head just tilts, and I'm like, wait a minute. I was like, she runs this? And someone goes, yeah, that's the boss, like she owns it. And I'm like, Phil Cotter's wife owns Sleepy Bee? But I kept that inside my head, and I was like, you know what, let's just roll with this for a minute.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
you know what's gonna happen for you. Like you know that they're gonna treat you like they're gonna love you. But yeah, so like when that I was working there, the manager Chris and everyone, he was like, yeah, like everyone has to just file for unemployment. So I was like, all right. So like I filed for unemployment, then I went home. This, that, and the third. I think like a couple of days went by, and I was like currently like just, we were like, me and my band were like just dropping like visuals of like freestyles together on like Instagram and stuff. And I get a email from Picture Music, and I'm like, who is Picture Music? And they end up saying like, hey, like, you know, we were doing this commercial for P&G. We can't say what the actual commercial is, but we wanna you know, Phil Cotter. So, like, Phil Cotter basically, like, plugged me in. He was like, Phil Cotter said that you'd be the perfect person to do this. And it really is.
Yeah.
But it's a competition. And I was like, okay. And they were like, so, you know, just so you know, like, just send us some of your music, this and a third, and we'll see if it works out. So I sent my music, and I sent them a lot of music.
Yeah, I did.
And then, like, they basically, they reached back out to me, and they were like, okay, like, we actually think you're the best candidate. You were going to, and I felt bad, because they were like, you're going up against, like, a 13-year-old who they were going to get for this, but they think that you're perfect, so we're going to do it. And I was like, dang.
I wish they wouldn't have told you that. I know. I would have been like, you have to tell me that part of it. Okay, you're just like, congratulations.
That's all they had to say. Like, they put it into detail. Like, 13-year-old, like boy from Memphis, Tennessee. Like, you know, and I'm like, all right, guys.
Just survived cancer and his mom died.
You know, like terrifying. Like, yeah. Like, but yeah, like, please give me the check. I'm starving too. So, like, basically that happened. And then they told me the scoop. They're like, Procter & Gamble's doing a Safeguard soap commercial. It's going to be on all streaming platforms, is going to be on the new TikTok, like, it's going to be, like, a whole thing, and, like, but then they're, like, you know, but we can only, like, do 1,000, I'm, like, I don't have a, like, I'm currently unemployed right now, so, like, yeah, sure, like, I'll take it, but then, like, as we're doing it, and I'm giving them, like, I had to write the whole thing,
wow.
So I wrote the whole song, I did not make the beat, but I wrote the whole song, and it was my voice.
Okay.
So they were having me write it, they gave me 2 different beats, I wrote to both. The amount of turnovers I had to get to give to them, because P&G's lawyers are so
intense,
ridiculous.
They like run the world.
Hey, like, you can't say but, because, like, we don't know what but you're talking about. And it's like, really, y'all? Like, are you serious? Like, it was simple stuff like that. It's like, all right, well, you know, so you're doing these turnovers. Next thing you know, they're like, hey, so, like, since you're doing so much work, we have to increase the budget. So Picture Music is, like, totally on my side when they're doing this.
Nice.
And, like, they're basically like, yeah, so, like, instead of 1,000, like, we've been able to increase it to 5. And I'm like, that's good. That's
thank
real
you.
Good.
Yes, thank
like,
you.
Like, thank you so much. Yeah. Like, I appreciate it. And, like, they're like, but we still need to keep going. So, like, you know, we're going to have you recorded this, then a third. Next thing you know, I'm getting in the meetings with Picture Music, like, FaceTiming them, like, meeting them and stuff. And then, like, one day I'm at, like, my mom's mother's house. My Gigi is what I call her, and which means gorgeous grandmother. Shout out to Gigi. And I'm there, and, like, they give me a call, and I'm talking to them. And they're like, yeah, so, like, so just so you know, like, we had to negotiate with them because they were trying to do lower than the minimum amount of what you would be doing as a voice artist.
Yeah.
You know, since you have to sign info with SAG and AFTRA, because I had to sign, like, stuff and whatnot, because mm-hmm. I was doing so many different jobs. They were like, yeah, like, we're going to have to increase it up to, like, 10-something. And I was like, oh. I was like, cool. I was like, maybe I don't have to work, like, at a restaurant anymore. And I totally, like, stopped working at a restaurant after that. And, yeah, you know, kind of like the rest was history.
Oh, that's fantastic.
They ended up.
I didn't
up,
realize that that was such a big deal.
It
wow.
was huge. Do you know how many views that got?
I mean, is it a billion now?
So
I didn't know that it was such a big deal for you. Personally and professionally, it makes it even better.
Yeah, you know, it took me for a spin. Like, I just wasn't prepared for it. Like, it wasn't the goal. Like, the goal for me has always been, like, rap. Like, let's get paid off of these songs that I'm creating as a rap artist. Like, that's always the goal.
Yeah.
You know, especially as a rap artist, as a hip-hop artist. But, like, when I did the commercial, I was like, yo, like, is this happening right now? And then you go on TikTok where they're like, you know, where they show, like, the commercial, like, mm-hmm. the big things that they want you to see when you first get on the platform.
Yeah.
Just smack dab right there. The biggest, like, the biggest flyer of, like, Procter & Gamble, Safeguard, Splash. Like, check it out.
So cool.
People from Brazil, from Singapore, from Japan. It had, like, over, in, like, 2 months, it had over 3 billion hashtag views.
Oh,
and I think
that.
It was over, like, 1 billion views. So.
Wow.
And you just had people, like, singing my song, doing these challenges.
That's so cool.
Dude, famous people from Christina Milian to what's her name from Pretty Little Liars.
Blake Lively?
No, not Blake Lively. She's the one with dark hair.
Other hot chick.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, like I had to put some stripes on my chest after that. I was like, you should put some stripes on your chest, deuces.
Oh, that's fantastic, man. Well, obviously, you know, when it comes from the heart, you work really hard and you're really talented. Then,
thank you.
You know, then I truly believe that, like, you don't think about the end result. You know, you have goals, but, like, I truly believe, like, getting lost in it and making a great product is the most important thing.
Absolutely.
You know, and I truly believe that your intentions behind it will be noticed and seen and people can feel. So
thanks, Nat.
Yeah, so I think it's cool. So you obviously earned it.
Appreciate that.
It's you. Okay, so now I want to talk about your most recent thing going on. So on your public radio podcast, and hold on, shoot, what is the name of it called again?
It's called The Art of.
Yeah. Yes, The Art of. And so this is where you're going to be interviewing other creatives and artists in Cincinnati. How is this? Because this is you in another space, right? And before we tackle that, I want to know, you've done, like, you're so versatile and diversified already. When you get into a new avenue or into, like, a new space, you know, do you get really scared? Do you get nervous?
Yeah, I think there's terms for that. Is it flight or fear? No.
Flight or fight?
Flight or fight?
Yeah. Oh, fight or flight.
Fight or flight. Yeah. I thought it was called flight or fight. So, don't worry about me, y'all. I'm adjusting to life as we go. Yeah, you know, I'm human.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm a human being. Like, I definitely get nervous before hitting the stage when I'm at the Red Stadiums. Like, I definitely, you know, have like that, like my, like I, the heartbeat, like, okay, like, you're good, you know?
Yeah.
And I always, like, you know, like, reaffirm myself, like, you're good, like, you got this. But, you know, when new projects do come in, like, it's like a bold situation, you know, because in the position that I'm in, people, like, already, I guess, I don't know, maybe I assume that they already expect, like, you're gonna do great things. So, like, that's why they want me to do these things. And so I almost have to, like, reassure to myself, like, look, like, you are already capable of doing these things that you might not have tackled quite yet.
Yeah.
So just know that you have every ability to do that. I mean, like, this new project that I'm doing is almost like a film.
Yeah.
I have not considered myself a filmmaker until someone told me, like, you're doing film, bro. Like you're a filmmaker now.
That's fantastic. You know, like, it's not easy to do this stuff that you're doing, and it can be really scary. And I love that you're just like, you believe in it. I'm like listening to you. I'm like, it took me so long to realize that and tell myself that, you know?
Yeah.
And it just comes from, I bet that was Gigi had a lot to do with that in your ear.
You know, Gigi, my dad for sure. My brother, my older brother, who's a musician, like, I learned a lot from him as far as, like, just crafting and just, like, my palette of music would not be the same if it wasn't for him. My palette of films would not be the same if it wasn't for him.
Do you think he's one of your big influences?
Oh, 100%. Okay. Yeah, I had, like, at the premiere, which we can get it to it next time later on, but at the premiere, like, I had to make sure people knew, like, where that came from.
That's so cool. Oh, man, it's breaking my heart that I couldn't be there. So, all right, so then let's jump back to that. So, how did the premiere go? Was that a huge moment? Was that, what did it feel like? Because this is, like, film, you know, you're recording all of these podcasts in, you can listen to them, get them wherever you get your podcasts, but also they're little movies as well, right? And are you editing and shooting all these things?
I do a little bit of editing. For not a lot of the stuff. Like, I have a team that helps me with this. Now I am producing it and directing it. So like, but I'm also like the talent in it as well. You know, so
dream, baby.
Right. So it's like, not only am I like saying like, hey, like let's do this, and like, hey, all right, fine, like I'll edit this part right here. But like, I also have to like make the music, and like, you know, if I'm collabing, like those are my ideas for like the sounds and stuff. And then I'm also like the face of like a TV host. So it's like that experience right there is like a whole thing. You got to get into the mind of it. And I will say this, you know, at the premiere, because like I'm still digesting what happened.
So the premiere was at a, those listening, at a movie theater at the Esquire.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it was at the Esquire on Ludlow. And, you know, I'm in front of 47,000 people at the Red Stadium, right? And I've done that plenty of times. Last year was, like, one of the biggest years for them. So, like, I'm used to being in that realm, right? But not 47,000 people are there for you.
Yeah.
Right. Now, granted, they all see you there and like they'll say your name when you're walking by and hug you and whatever. But in the premiere, it was only 160 people that came in. It was a little bit more than 160 people. But all those 160 people were, well, there was people that I didn't know too.
Yeah.
But those people were there for me.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that feeling was just like, it was a new, I've done shows where I've had plenty of people come like to that amount, come to a performance. But in again, like you're in a performance, like you're not, like you're in your own zone.
Yeah.
And it's like a whole different realm. Like you go into like this ether, you know, when you're performing.
Mm-hmm.
But like, to be able to like speak in front of 160 people, to be like, hey, like this is my baby on a theater screen.
You're like, I did all of this. Thank you for coming to visit me. I did all of this. Now you're going to watch me. How do you? That's terrifying.
Yeah.
That's a lot, babe.
It's like.
That's huge.
Thank you. Thank you. It was monumental. Like I totally was nervous going up on stage. Like I had to pause for like 5 seconds before I like spoke. And I was like, hi, guys. You know, like I had to digest it, look at everybody like around me. I told them, like, give y'all a round of applause. Like, please give yourself a round of applause. Like, you guys are amazing. Like, you guys took the time to come out to come see something that I created with myself and the team that supported me. Like, it was great. The premiere was amazing.
That's so cool.
It was amazing. And I plan on doing it again, you know. The Art of Series, I think, is such an exceptional concept where you're able to bring in different outlets and languages of information together.
Yeah.
So not only like podcasts, which people love to do,
mm-hmm.
and like music videos and like the documentary like experience and like the TV like sensational like experience that we all like to like
multimedia,
see.
Multimedia, man.
It's a multimedia experience.
Yeah.
And I think the beauty about that is that not everybody is the type to watch a series or a movie or listen to podcasts. You know, some people just like watching music videos. Some people just like listening to podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like when you have these outlets coming together, create something brand new.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I just kind of like, yeah. So Lex has been one of your guests so far, and Jay from Native.
Yeah.
So that's great. I know Lex through a friend of a friend. No, through like a good friend. She was their friend anyway from like 2020, and I didn't know that she did so much stuff here.
Yeah,
she's so badass.
Yeah, no, Lex Nicole is amazing.
So tell me, so now that you're the host and this is your baby, are you putting other things on the back burner for right now?
No.
Okay. Oh my God, just add it on.
No, I. You know what? If I put my album, like the album experience that I've been wanting to release for a long time. And I haven't done it just because I've been so, like, backed into a lot of these other projects that I'm doing,
mm-hmm.
that I cannot, like, back that in anymore. Like, I gotta push that forward. So, no, like, everything that I'm doing, like, currently right now that I have, like, on, like, my plate as to, like, what needs to get done and what needs to get eaten, like, needs to get done. Like, it needs to keep moving.
Are we going to see you at the Reds this year?
Oh, absolutely. I'm hoping it's a couple of us that host, so I'm hoping that they book me for the opening day, and I'm actually hoping I'm in the opening day parade. If not, so we'll see.
Have you been in the parade before?
No.
I would assume so. What?
No.
Have you ever been in a parade?
No.
Oh my God, you're gonna love it. Being in parades is one of my favorite things in the world to do.
Yeah.
You just gotta eat it up, ham it up, babe. You just wave, you do all the stuff. Last year, I got to rollerblade in the opening day parade.
You got to rollerblade?
It was awesome.
What?
And then also last year, there was like one of the TV hosts. It was his last day. And I saw him broadcasting from the corner of a street. And so I like went right over to him and was like, hey, just like knew he was on TV.
you rollerblade. Yeah. You rollerblade to him, gave him a hug and rollerbladed out. Yeah. That's a nat move right there.
Oh my God, it was so much fun.
Is rollerblading hard?
No.
Okay.
Are you not a rollerblader? Have you ever rollerbladed?
I skydive.
Oh, I love skydiving as well. Hold on, tell me about your skydiving.
So I'm not like a professional. I just love skydiving.
Yeah.
But like if shoot, my pick. So my mentors, I had a mentor that passed away 2 years ago, but his son is like a professional skydiver. He's taken me skydiving up in Cleveland quite a few different times.
Wow.
And I love it. Like, I used to be afraid of heights.
Yeah.
Like, no. It's like, that fear of heights has nothing to do with skydiving. Like, skydiving is, like, a sensation.
Do you pull your own thing?
I have, yeah.
Oh, my God, you're so cool. I also love skydiving, and I've been 3 times now. And the last time I went, I paid extra money to go up higher.
Yeah.
And after that time, I was like, I'll never pay for this again. But, like, you know, like, I've done it enough to where, like,
I've done it
in 3 different, wildly different environments. I did it in Ohio, in the desert, and on the beach.
The desert?
Yeah, in Moab. That was my favorite one.
Dude, I bet that was, like...
It was cool. No, it's cool.
Like just to touch the sand when you hit the ground. Like.
Well, no, it's not like the Serengeti or whatever. Shit. Hold on, the Serengeti desert. It's not like, you know, Mojave, but it's, you know, you're on, it is, you know, very, very dry.
Well, it's probably like 29 Palms in. 29 Palms is a desert. But it's not like the Sahara Desert where you're like touching the sand, like
in the middle of nowhere. No, but it was that was really, really cool. But I decided it's expensive, and I was like, next time I do this, I'm pulling my own thing.
Got to.
And that's been a long time now, and I haven't done it since. But you know, I did. We took Freddie, my co-host, for his 30th birthday.
Oh, shout out to Freddie Mac.
And holler. And they were like, you can go if you want to, you know, like it would be for free. And I was like, no, can I just sit in the cockpit with the pilot? Yes. Dude, I didn't realize this. They nosedive. As soon as the jumpers, like the.
Yeah, they go off the plane.
Yes. As soon as the jumpers jump, the pilot then like does a loop and then nosedives to the ground as fast as possible. And that was so cool.
Wait, you got to nosedive in a plane?
Yeah, it was cool.
All right, now that's probably as cool as skydiving.
I'm not going to lie. I was like, yo, I had no idea. I never even thought about what happened to the plane afterwards, you know?
No one ever did.
Right? And I was like, this is so cool. Because I guess, you know, they got to keep central location to pick up the next people, you know, so they can't go too far.
Yeah, so they can't go too far.
It was
cool.
But
to nosedive?
It was cool. And he like and he knew that I was excited about it, so he like accelerated to the ground, and I was like,
Did you have your seatbelt on?
I did.
Or were you doing like Scarlett Johansson, like Black Widow, like just holding?
Oh my
like,
god! I haven't actually seen that movie, but I can only imagine what it looks.
You haven't seen Marvel movies?
No.
Nah.
I know. Oh yeah, no, I'm not.
It's like not seeing Peaky Blinders or Game of Thrones.
Oh my god. Okay, well, I've only seen the first like 7 episodes of Game of Thrones, but I've watched Peaky Blinders all the way through twice.
Twice?
Twice.
Okay, first off, I'm Hugh Cillian. Is it Cillian Murphy?
Killian
Murphy?
Killian.
Love Killian Murphy.
Same.
And Peaky Blinders is like top tier.
Isn't it the
it's
best?
It's so good. And I'm such a huge like timepiece fantasy, like like fanatic of like shows and movies, but like timepieces are like my favorite.
Mm-hmm. That one is done so well.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I always think about, I'm sure you do as well.
Yeah.
I think about the production of the whole thing of like, how much time did it take to create the sets? How much did it cost to do all of this? How many times do they have to do this over and over? You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, those are huge things that I think about too, because I'm always concerned about like how, like the characters are going through like their film process,
mm-hmm.
especially for like method actors like Cillian Murphy.
Mm.
Like it's like Johnny Depp. Like he goes through this character. It's like, how do you like break off out of that? And like, how do you guys make these moments before they add in a CGI? Like,
right?
like all that. I mean, like, where do you guys find these buildings at? Like in Peaky Blinders, I'm like, where is that?
I know, right?
I'm like, where do you find that? Like.
Oh, well, acting is like one of your things you've done. So tell me about, do you act at the Playhouse in the Park, or did you in school growing up, or?
This is going to be funny. So like, I was never in theater in high school or middle school
mm-hmm.
or college.
Okay.
It's always been something I was inspired to do. I was just afraid. Like.
I feel you on that.
And a lady named Danielle Rasmussen, who used to work at Playhouse in the Park.
Mm-hmm.
She was like the relationships director there, something like that. So long story short, no one take this idea.
Okay.
But
are you sure you want to tell us?
I'm not gonna tell you at all. But but I created like this like music idea for a play.
Yeah.
Right? Like it was like an action, like a musical, because I love musicals.
Mm-hmm.
And like it came off of the strength of Hamilton, because like when I went to go see Hamilton live, I was like mind blown.
Yeah.
I was like, I know what I want to do. right? Like, whole idea came into play. And I was with Kickley. I was under his, I'm an alumni under
his
company.
He's a homie. He's been on the podcast as well.
Shout out to Kick. Yeah. So I was under his, I'm under his company, CMA, as an alumni. Mm. And this is when he was doing those classes for artists and stuff. And I basically, I came up with this idea. He was like, blah, blah, blah. We've currently been in talks with Playhouse and Danielle. Like, I want you to meet her. Like, how about, can you write, you know, just write her something? And so I wrote like a huge like synopsis of like this idea that I had. Mm-hmm. And I gave it, I sent it to Danielle. And then next thing you know, me and Danielle connected. And then like, she seen the stuff that I was doing. And like, she was like, how about we just make like a pilot of like the idea that you're doing? Because like Blake, whatever his name is, that runs Playhouse in the Park, he was like, I love the idea, but it's like, this is something that we would have to take to New York because they would love this idea. But he was like, but you need to like come up with a pilot. So like, I came up with a pilot, which was The Edge of Town, mm-hmm. which is what I end up doing. It's like a pop play musical experience that basically has to do with like the separation of generation and the riots that happened during 2020, and like just how to like bring that same fight back to the regular neighborhoods that we're in. And so I was acting in it, like, you know, like scripting it, and I was doing all these things. So cool. And she was like, Deuces, like, you like have every like attribute that an actor has. And she was like, why don't you act in this, I think it was called like off the stage or something like that. I forget what, off the grid. I forget what her concept was that she had with Playhouse, mm-hmm. where she would do like acts out of the building of Playhouse. So she would do it at different venues and like actually create like a whole play. Like she did one at York Garage on York.
Okay.
Which is where I did the play at, and it was this play called the Mom and Pop, and it was basically like a play of a cooking show competition.
Okay.
And I was one of the judges named Julius, and he was so out there. Julius was so out there. He was the one that like, cause he had an affair with one of the other judges.
Uh-huh.
But Julius was
you
like,
gotta love a juicy concept.
So it was mm-hmm. that type, right? So like I had this whole like, and I was one of the main characters, and like people said I nailed it.
Yeah.
And like, but like did. It was totally out of my like, I wasn't like that type of guy. Like I usually laugh at these characters on there because I'm like, uh-huh. he wasn't the term for me is flamboyant, but not flamboyant into the sense of like, you know, for what he enjoys doing. But it's like his character was like, he was like, oh, if I could think of a
super flamboyant,
like almost super flamboyant, but like more so of just like the way that he approached it almost seemed feminine but not feminine.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
So and I'm trying to think of a person who would do that, like an actor that would be like that. That's just like, it's like all right, like like relax, Julius, like mm-hmm. you're being a drama queen. He was a drama queen.
And did you love it though?
I nailed it. It was so fun.
Oh my God.
It was so fun.
You're
like,
so versatile.
Yeah.
I mean, so I can say I interview so many people, and the more I learned about you, the more I was like, how do I even approach this? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's so much to cover here. What I want to know is, what do you want to do in the future, and where do you see yourself 10 years from now? And do you look that far?
Yeah.
It seems like anything you try, you do really well.
Thank you.
You know, really anything. And at least you're trying everything.
That's the biggest part.
Right?
Yeah.
And so is there one thing that calls you more than others?
Yeah. Making music.
Yeah.
Yeah. Music is where it all started mm-hmm. for everything.
Yeah.
And like I have to make sure people are reminded of that.
Yeah.
Like I know like people would love for me to host stuff and do this, that, and the third, but like I am an artist. Right? So like music for me always comes first. Like that's my baby, that's my heart, like yeah. that's what like how my heart cries out. Like there's still stories of like trauma and stuff and like hardships that I deal with, that I've dealt with, and that like my family has dealt with and people that are around me have dealt with, that mm-hmm. I still want to tell the stories of.
Yeah.
But you know, I guess in the future, you know, I want to make sure that I'm able to financially like find freedom with the things that I do. Obviously, I think we all want to make sure we're doing something that we love to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to make sure that like I'm able to do that with with a skill set, you know, like I want to make sure that I am more capable than not, right? Like I have to be able to be like, it's almost like, are you able to fix a car? Are you able to cook? Like, can you take care of your home? Like, I want to utilize that thought process of being capable mm-hmm. as a man, but to also apply it to my craft. Okay. You know, because you never know where you might need to be at or what you might need to be used for.
It's very true. Someone was recently telling me about how they were running a restaurant, and someone told them, like, you need to know everything about it. You need to be the chef. You need to be the server. You also got to know how to do the books. You got to know how to pay the bills and talk to the delivery man and everything. And that's what you want to be as an artist in yourself.
Yeah, you know, but I also want, like,
as you are. You are.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
You know, but I also, like, in the next, like, 10, 15 years, I definitely want to be married. I definitely want, like, some children. You know, like, I still have, like, regular life goals that I want. I still want to be able to travel. Like, I haven't traveled. I've traveled to the Bahamas, but, like, I haven't been out the country yet. And it's, like, I've been wanting to do that for, like, years.
Okay. All right. I'm thinking, like, you know, some people, because you have been on America's Got Talent.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some people go on shows. I've interviewed some people who are like, well, I want to have a New York Times bestseller, and I want to do this, and I want to do this, I want to do this.
That's all going to come. I know that's all going to come.
Oh,
like,
okay,
remember how I was telling, like, I'm manifesting, like, my plaque on the wall mm-hmm. earlier? Like, I know that that's going to happen, but, like I also need to, like, be grounded, too, because some of those people that have plaques on the walls and stuff, like, don't even have good relationships with their family.
Yeah,
and don't
true.
Even have, like, healthy boundaries, and don't even have, like, aspirations to have children and stuff. Like, they're so caught up in the stuff that's happening around them that they haven't established that yet.
It's true. Gifford, you're doing this all so young. I can say I'm 38 years old, and it took me till 38 to realize, to wake up from my life and from work, from having my head down just freaking working so much, which I love. But the thing is, like, I love it.
Yeah.
It brings me so much joy.
Yeah.
I talked to Megan Mitchell about this, and she was like, I feel like my hobby is my job because I just love it. And I'm not working. I'm researching about it, doing stuff. I'm like, same, you know? That's how I keep myself busy. But also, I, like, never thought about having a family till now.
Mm.
And then you're like, man, what if I, you know, it's like late in life. But it's, you know, because I didn't have that conversation with myself early on. And that's great advice for anyone earlier in their career or whatnot. If you're serious about something, it takes everything you got. And you got to have certain boundaries and discipline, as you say. So
yeah, it's super important.
Well, you got to figure it out.
Shit. I don't know if I have it figured out.
Well, it seems like you had a great head on your shoulders. I feel like the older that I'm getting, I sound like an old lady so many times. Like, when I was your age, you know, blah, 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 blah,
when
blah.
I was your age, I had my shoes tied already. But let me tell you something.
No, but, I mean, like, you are doing just everything that you do. What keeps you going?
My family, seeing them in better positions, seeing myself in better positions, knowing that I can make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
My family has struggled a lot. You know, my mom being a single mother, took me into a really good school. I was not a great kid.
Yeah.
I was a great kid, but I was definitely troublesome. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, I definitely was independent, you know, wanted to do things, you know, my way sometimes, ran the streets a bit and stuff. But I think that's natural with the culture that you know, I'm raised through, you know.
You know, I can say so myself. I think I've always been a really good person. I, you know, like, I'm not going to intentionally hurt anyone.
Right, right.
But I came from a broken home. And within that, I did a lot of, I don't want to say bad kid things, but things that to me seemed normal, and that's how I interpreted the world. And said no to authority really, really early. Still do. Not because I wanted to say fuck you, but because to me it didn't exist. It never has.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, they're full of shit.
And so it was like, I just do whatever all the time, which I think honestly is a good thing, because I, you know, you can look at it from a couple different ways. If you did have freedom, I use that freedom to know that there was no one stopping me from doing a lot of great things I wanted to do, and a lot of the things were great. So I feel like within that, you know, you can create a lot of beauty, which you have.
Yeah. You know, and coming from a broken home, you know, I think I've recognized it at an early age, you know, that, like, my situation was different. Mm-hmm. And then when I recognized that music was a good outlet for me, because I would write all the time in school and, you know, just write songs and stuff, especially about like the struggles that I had with me and my mom, like me and my mom's relationship, which I love her to death. Shout out to mama. But, you know, like it was definitely a struggle. And those were things that kept me motivated to like be like, look, like you got to do these things like right in order to make it right.
Yeah.
You know, and those are motivations that I keep with me to the end of time. You know, like to this day, like me and my mom have a great relationship, but like still, like, you know, she lives in an apartment. She's never had her own, you know, she's had her own home, but not to the degree of like how I see it.
Yeah.
You know, from what's around me, like she deserves that, mm-hmm. you know, and, you know, to just be able to see my dad not have to struggle and break his back, you know, to support, you know, his side of, you know, his family and stuff. And, you know, for the things that like my brothers and sisters and cousins and like close friends and stuff have like been through and struggle. Like, I feel like as a vessel, like that's important for me to create that space for not only myself, but for them as well.
Yeah.
Because if I didn't, then I wouldn't be doing the service that was given. I wouldn't be doing justice to what was given to me.
Wow. I don't know what else to say. I'm like, I feel like we should end right there. I mean, man, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's absolutely beautiful.
Thank you.
You know, your smile is very genuine and it comes from your soul. So
thank you.
Thank you so much, man.
Yeah.
As we can watch you, we can watch you on all platforms.
Yeah.
Literally every social media platform. You're on SoundCloud, YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
What else am I missing? There's more.
I'm on every platform. I'm usually on Instagram a lot if people want to reach out to me. My tag is iDeuces. It's iDeuces, so AIGHTDEUCES. I definitely want to shout out Cincinnati Public Radio for the collaboration of the Art of series. That is an amazing project.
Okay, so can we end with, when do these episodes come out? How can we follow and watch and listen to them?
Yeah. So the first season is out currently. You can watch them on Cincinnati Public Radio's YouTube page and on their landing page, which is sinradio.org. So that's S-I-N radio and then .org. You can also go on my link on Instagram or Facebook and find them there too.
By the way, your link tree is insane.
Should I shorten it?
No, dude. It's incredibly impressive. I was like, oh my, this guy, this is so cool. You've accomplished so much. And this is only the beginning, obviously. So
yeah.
It's cool to see.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, man, for sure. And Deuces is coming at you. Isn't he just such a great guy? He's super young. He's only 31 years old, and he's taken Cincinnati by storm. He's about to take the world by storm, y'all. And we got to hear him here first. Find him on Instagram as iDeuces, AIGHTDEUCES. That's his primary form of social media. And his link tree is in his Instagram, so you can find him everywhere else and book him and get to know him and message him, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Thank you all so much for another episode of Person of Interest with me, Natalie Jones. Next is coming at you when it comes at you.